Hello and welcome to Pedagogzilla, the pedagogic podcast with the pop culture. After taking the piss out of Mark, I've instantly fluffed it. Okay. Hello and welcome to Pedagogzilla, the pedagogic podcast with the pop culture core. Today we are answering the absurd question, the unbearable lightness of being in Aberystwyth. How does Aberystwyth shape teaching, learning and research? To answer this, we've come all the way to Aberystwyth and decided to put our integrity in the hands of the good folk who work and study here. We'll be running an activity with them, see them form groups, choose roles, select a format, and then rapidly pull together a segment for this magazine-style takeover special. But first, we should introduce ourselves. Ha-ha! Told you we would. Hello, I'm Mike Collins. I am a senior learning designer at the Open University. I'm imposter syndrome incarnate, and I'm the man who set up a snake's nest of microphones.
I'm Mark Childs. I've got a PhD in education, and I'm a national teaching fellow. And the bit I missed out is I'm senior learning designer at Durham University.
Took a moment's thought there.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Rebecca Ferguson. I am a professor of learning futures at the Open University, and my tagline for this podcast is innovator of pedagogies.
My name is Elizabeth Ellis. I'm head of school of digital education at Arden University, and my main experience on Pedagogzilla is to basically be a voice.
And can I just... We're doing this in front of a live audience. This is
the next
odd
bit in my script.
Yeah, okay. So okay.
We've got that live audience.
You've scripted this.
I've scripted. Did that not sound scripted? What do you think I was holding this laptop for? This isn't a bit, by the way. This is my life. This is the stuff that gets edited out. So we should, of course, as well as ourselves, introduce our participants. Can I get a hello from the room or some sort of surus of sound? One, two, three.
Hello.
Yes, we are recording this in front of a live, not so much studio audience as room.
Captive room.
Does this lock? This room? It could lock. Okay, that's good to know.
Keep it going, Mike.
Righto. Thank you, Mark. So, anyway, our question. The unbearable lightness of being in Aberystwyth. How does Aberystwyth shape teaching, learning, and research? That's going to be our theme for this takeover-themed episode, but it's going to be up to you to form teams, decide roles, work out how you interpret that question, select a format, and then ultimately to plan and record a segment for this takeover special. And also, what's your you area? So what's your kind of, you know, what's your thing? What's the thing that this might necessarily need to come into the podcast, but just what's something that gets you excited, something you're interested in, something that maybe isn't connected directly to your professional area? Again, using the title, The Unbearable Lightness of Being in Aberystwyth, how does Aberystwyth shape teaching, learning, and or research? Hello, you are in the virtual editing studio now with me, Mike, and...
Me, Mark.
Mark didn't know that I was going to ask him to introduce himself. And we've now edited and listened back to the takeover sessions from our groups. So here's Mark's group. Let's give it a listen.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this podcast about the unlikeliness of being in Aberystwyth. How does Aberystwyth shape our teaching, learning, and research? I'm Mary Jacob. I'm a lecturer in learning and teaching, and we've got three guests here today.
I'm Nina. I'm a lecturer in computer science department.
I'm Bibi. I'm a lecturer in applied conservation biology.
I'm Owen. I'm a lecturer in physics.
Thank you all so much. So we had a bit of a conversation a moment ago about some of the key things about that make Aberystwyth a special place to live, and one of them was the smallness of our town and maybe connected to the remoteness from other big cities. So how does that affect our teaching? How can we use this in order to teach more effectively with our students?
I would say that I'm a person who moved from a very big city. Yeah, so my experience before that, I was born there. So when I moved to the place, which is so, I would say it is just distant from the city centers, which we are like most common tell when we describe Great Britain. Yeah, London, Oxford, yeah, all of these things. But maybe nobody knows about Aberystwyth. That's a pity, honestly. It's more welcoming us, yeah? It's more more easy to interact with each other, with other colleagues, with our students, because we don't feel really the pressure, yeah? The pressure of hierarchy, the pressure of behave like a real teacher, yeah, the one which we maybe seen in cinemas. Yeah, we are more like in a short hand distance.
Right, so that can help us to work together with our colleagues then,
yeah,
and feel closer to our students because it's a smaller community. So, Bibi, what do you think about that? How does that affect, how do you use that smallness, the community aspect in your teaching? How can we reach our students effectively?
I must say that the smallness, in my mind, creates that a bit of a family aspect. It creates security. You feel at home. And I think with the students, that's probably something, especially the students that come from overseas or from outside, might experience as an easier landing circumstance or setup, which I think can influence their teaching positively. Just the sense of being part of a community very quickly and very easily from the beginning, because it's a small community.
Right. So it sounds like what you're saying is it's easier to establish a sense of belonging, both for the staff and the students, and that can really help them in learning and help us in teaching.
I think so, yeah.
Nice. Oh, and what are your thoughts?
So Aberystwyth, although it's a very small place, it's very diverse and multilingual as well, and it's been bilingual for, I guess, centuries with the Welsh and English, so it's kind of normal to hear lots of languages, and it has been normal for centuries. And that, you know, comes back to that sense of belonging, that people find it very easy to settle here, even if they are from different cultures. That it's just normal to hear lots of different languages, people with different ideas, like a lot of diversity, even though you have that small place.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I like about it the most, really, is that feeling that there's a place for everyone here and lots of different people, kinds of people, bringing ideas in. As you might be able to tell from my voice, I'm not from Aberystwyth. I came here from California, but that was almost 20 years ago. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more about what you know, in our chat a moment ago earlier, you mentioned something about how our brains process different languages and how that can be leveraged to help learning. Could you say a bit more about that?
Yeah, so I grew up as a Welsh speaker, grew up bilingually. There's no sort of there's no separation in my brain, really, between Welsh and English. They're both kind of in one box, and then other languages are in another box. So in Aberystwyth, there's a lot of bilingual teaching. There are courses that are Welsh medium and English medium counterparts. And I feel that if you are kind of, sometimes with languages, it's a bit, words are a bit funny, right? That you can have translations of words and they don't necessarily mean exactly the same. And you might be able to better express something in one language rather than another. And if you want to get like a better understanding, the sort of broader vocabulary can help you kind of understand that or express yourself. And really allow your brain to sort of work in different ways, different languages, and like be able to understand concepts a lot better.
Right. So the multilingual aspect means that people can have a deeper level of cognitive processing. Maybe they think of that word in Russian or German or English or Welsh and the translating. So this is what it means in this other language. Does anybody else in their table have had that experience about processing, cross-processing between different languages?
All the time.
So tell us where you're from, Nina.
I'm from Russia. So, yeah, I speak to my husband all the time in Russian. I speak to my relatives in Russian. So, yeah, all the time it's like transferring from one language to another. And it is not the quite common situation when you speak English in Russia. Yeah, honestly, it seems like most of the people in Russia understand English quite well, but they can't speak at all. So it was the main barrier for me when I moved here, because it was the first time when I started speaking a lot on this language. I started to communicate with my students a lot, with my colleagues, and it always was a quite tricky situation when I would like to express something. I know the word which I would like to use in Russian, and I know that this is an English word. Yeah, and there is a specific color, specific emotional background of this word. But then I found out that this is a completely different, not really a meaning, but yeah, I can use this word differently when I speak English. Yeah, so English speakers don't understand the background which I have with this word in Russian. Even if this word is the same. That's quite funny.
So you mentioned in our pre-chat something about how in computer science, you have it's a very international group of students.
Yes.
As a standard thing, not only in Aberystwyth, I think, but in other countries as well. That's a community of people interested in computer science. So how does that play out in your modules when you're teaching? How do you use that knowledge to help your students learn?
I think that it's really nice when we have the same background with students and colleagues, because it is like how you said, international community. Everywhere we have the same source. Yeah, there is no differences in describing some aspects of algorithms or maybe some technical aspects of programming and many other things, because yeah, it's everywhere. It is some English words typed and it is a program. Yeah, so any language speakers, they use the same English words in programming languages like Java, C++, or anything else. Yeah, so really it feels like we don't have any barriers. Yeah, we have this straight connection at the moment when we start speaking about these problems with coding. Yeah, when students came to me and they say, oh, I don't understand why this thing is like doubling the output, I cannot find the answer. And I say, yes, we had the same experience. When I was your age, I felt the same way. So I know the solution.
So that helps, that commonality helps to bring the teachers and the students together across backgrounds. Bibi, what about your, how do you approach the international, the very diverse nature of the students in your life sciences modules? How do you address that and incorporate that into your teaching?
So lecturing conservation biology is obviously something that is of interest to the whole planet. So it's a topic and an issue that everyone can identify with, that everyone has got some kind of connection, opinion with or on. And so what I like doing is the first lecture I had with my last class in wildlife conservation, I asked them which countries they were from, to just put everyone on the map. And for me, that gave me an idea of the diversity and that I could accommodate examples from at least each of the continents or from the countries that they could then relate to. But at the same time, also obviously have enough spread that they would learn something new. But it just reminded me not to be too small and local in my thinking and be as inclusive as possible. And I just love the exchange and interaction as well with the students, because when they come back with their experiences in class, they come obviously from their background where they grew up in. So I can throw any conservation-related issue into the classroom and anyone will have a story to tell. And so I learn a lot as well from them, because they come from different places.
That's fantastic. It sounds like it becomes a real community within including the teachers and the students. And then bringing in that real-world experience that students have lived. You know, they've seen those animals, they've heard those birds, they know how things are affecting the communities they come from or that they've experienced. So it's not just an abstract idea.
Yes, and they can compare. So they hear an example from me from one country, and then they think of day-to-day situations in their environment where they grew up, in the States or somewhere in China, and they will say, oh, but no, our road signs look this and this to alert us to animals. Or if you use nationality or culture as a point of departure, then it makes people less likely to feel that they say something wrong.
Yeah.
Personal, almost personal experience of linked to their cultural background. So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's validating their experience and building, linking ideas. So how does that feel then? We talked about the unlikeliness of being in Aberystwyth, and we've all come from different places and come here, come to this small town, but yet it's very diverse and very connected internationally. How does that make you guys feel?
I would say that we maybe, as professionals in lecturing, in running sessions, we are mirroring the way how our students behave. Yeah, when they are in a new community, yeah, when they have a lot of students from different countries, they have to communicate with them. They have to make new friends. Yeah, it's not no longer staying in the same community with the same language. Yeah, you work on the same project, for example, with very completely different people. And the same way we do when we are talking to our colleagues, we are no longer locked in our environment. Yeah, we are interested in new experience. Yeah, we talk, we discuss, we ask questions, how you solve this problem, yeah, from with your background, yeah, what helped you in your background to solve this problem? Maybe it also works for me. Why not?
Great. Thank you. So, Owen, how do you feel about this? The sort of almost, it's not a tension, it's more of a confluence between somehow we're small, but we're also very diverse and internationally connected.
Yeah, I mean, the university kind of brings a lot of people together. In my experience, there tends to be sort of this long-range attraction from Aberystwyth that people come here for university and then they kind of really jive with it and they want to come back here, they want to live here. And if you're not someone for the rat race, it seems like it is somewhere that people like just enjoy being. You know, if you want to clear your head, you just go and walk on the seafront, look at the wildlife, the starlings over the pier. It's just a great place to be. My wife, she is from Slovakia, and we've lived a lot of different places doing different postdocs, and it's like, apart from her home country, it's the place that she's felt the most at home.
I can really relate to that, as I felt coming here, that I found a community where a diverse, different overlapping communities that I could feel were like home. And I love that. I felt like I put my roots down here, having lived in a lot of other places before coming here as well. I also want to throw in an idea about how that diversity in the Aber community has affected my thinking as a teacher. Because I think we all come in with assumptions based on our prior experience. This is how students learn. This is what I expect students to do. This is how they'll behave. This is what I should do as a teacher. And we come in, and in the beginning, it can feel like these are obvious. Maybe we don't even articulate that to ourselves explicitly. We just, okay, this is what it is. But then when you're teaching in a different culture, or you have students from a different culture in your class, we can use this in a really positive way to question our assumptions. So we say, okay, why do I think that? Oh, maybe that's culturally bound. Maybe that's not a universal feature. What experiences did my different students from different places have? What are the things that are the strengths about that? And how can I incorporate all that in my teaching? That's sort of my takeaway from this. Bibi, what are your final thoughts?
Having just arrived here very recently, I can just say that the diversity among the colleagues I work with. So this is not just the students, but it's all the staff as well. So one of my colleagues who was appointed, I think last year in October, just a little bit before me, has got Brazilian roots. Another one comes from the Netherlands, but was in Germany then. So even for me, so not just for the students, it was a soft landing, because there was that diversity made me feel at home much more easily, I think, than these tight-knit communities that you can also, small can often also mean that it's difficult to get into And I think combining small with international makes it a really, really nice mixture, actually. Yeah.
So you're saying it's a small community, but it's an open community because of that diversity. So
yes.
You can easily, people can easily join in. You don't have to be, it's not a homogenous, you know,
yeah.
If you don't exactly match, then...
Then you're out, or you don't even get in.
Or you don't even get in, I think I'd like to thank my colleagues in this group and for the wonderful ideas and the stimulating discussion. And I'd like to thank the Pedagodzilla team for inviting us to do this.
So what's your kind of reflection on the answer they reached, or the answers they reached?
That it's a small city, and so therefore, and it's isolated, and so therefore everyone gets to know each other. Everyone's got a similar experience. They were talking about, they're all from all over the place. You'll hear that from the accents. And they all reflected on their own experiences of moving into Aberystwyth and being in quite a different environment. And that gave them an insight into what their students would be feeling, so they could share that, but also the diversity of the students and the diversity of the academics talking about them also came out and was a strong point about how they teach and what they draw on when they're doing the teaching. It flowed well. I didn't do much editing to cut out any of the stilted bits. There were very, very few, and don't want to take too much credit for that, but I do think it's partly the way that we'd scaffolded it to give them a kind of easy way to get into structuring it and taking on the roles and all that sort of thing.
Cool. Yeah, we can reflect on that structure at the end maybe. So okay. Now to the second group, as this was Maxim, Caitlin, Sarah and Ellie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pilgrimage to Aber. So our members today are...
Maxim, lecturer in computer science.
And I am Caitlin Baker, lecturer in psychology.
Hello, I'm Sarah Tudor, and I'm in the School of Education, teacher training.
Oops. And hi, I'm Ellie, and I teach photography at the School of Art.
Perfect. So we're going to go through and talk about why we came to Aber, so our journey here, then why students may want to come to Aberystwyth University, and then how does that whole process, this talk of journeys, shape us to, or shapes our teaching here. So I will start first with, I guess, Maxim, then we'll go round robin.
So my journey to Aber started roughly 10 years ago. Almost 11 now. So I was invited to a small workshop which was organized by some prominent people of the computer science department here. So we, together with my wife, we arrived here from different points of the world. We missed the train, so we had to take a car. This was the first experience for me to actually rent a car and for driving the UK way. And we arrived there quite late, and we were completely astonished by the view of the promenade in the night. So the sea, the shoreline, nobody at the shore. So this was a stunning experience. And next day, I realized that Aberystwyth shaped me in a particularly different way, because I realized that there is one part of my brain doing the usual brain things and another one taking control of me completely when I cross the street because of the way the transport in the UK works. 8 years later and like 2 years back, from this moment, I am now in the permanent position here. And since then, I am enjoying Aberystwyth very much.
No, I was interested to hear, Maxim, that impression that Aberystwyth had on you when you arrived. And I think that is true for all of us, even though I've been coming to Aberystwyth since I was a child and wasn't allowed to swim in the sea because of this deep, deep shelf. And my journey to Aberystwyth came mainly from coming here to study to be a teacher and then returning nearly 18 years later to become a teacher trainer myself. You mentioned pilgrimage, Caitlin, and this sense of Pererindod, which is a very deep part of the Welsh culture, like many other cultures, that you come somewhere with a sense of purpose and a sense of expectation. And for me, coming over Penglais Hill in the morning and seeing the sea in its different colours and different shapes and the way it impacts the whole community somehow, it made a huge impression on me. And I think that that certainly shapes the way I feel in the morning, you know, depending on what colour the sea is. So I imagine then that that would have a huge impact on everyone, but in different ways.
One thing that really brings us all together here in ABBA is very much the distance we are from other places. So my journey, I remember quite vividly, is, you know, getting the train. The first time coming to, like, an applicant day where I had to bring my huge portfolio of work with me on the train, 5.5 hours, 6.5 hours on a bad day, or on Sundays. And dragging it all the way up to the School of Art and getting to my interview and then having the rest of the day to enjoy the beautiful place that is ABBA. So the journey to get here is such a big part of community as well, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, and then I'm one of the international staff here at ABBA, and my journey, I guess, was similar to yours. I'm from outside, did my postgrad in England and the UK, and wanted to come back after COVID, and so a lot of my friends at the time were advising me, come to Wales, it's a nice, friendly place, so that's what brought me here. One of the places in Wales that took me is Aberystwyth University. We had a conversation prior to this about journeys, how did we get here, etc., and how we are the end of the line of the train line, but we can probably look at that in different ways. Instead of being the end of the line, maybe this is the start of the line. So this is my nice kind of like safe landing spot to start my career. We'll see where I go from there, but otherwise, nice friendly environment. Wales does a lot of things that relates to my research. So
I like the way you talked about that kind of landing spot, that sort of sense of the sense of community and the sense of safety and the sense that we are able to support and sustain each other as a wider community. You know, the Aber is part of, I mean, Ceredigion and Aberystwyth are immensely important historically for Wales, and you know, having the National Museum here, and I'm sorry, the National Library, and you know that teachers have been trained in Aberystwyth for well over a century. We're one of the first places in Wales to start training teachers, and that sense of education being the driving force of this wider community and feeling like you belong here was very, very important to me. And I think that idea of pilgrimage and Peregrindod is that you're going somewhere and you're seeking the sense of, yes, I belong here, I can do something here. It's been very important for me.
In your opinion, what do you think brings students to Aberystwyth?
As I was a student, not in this place, but in some other country, we gathered together on events such as like training for programming competitions in one small particular town where there was nothing like it was just the university that hosted us, a lake, and pretty much everything. So we were left with just our own to train, to perfect ourselves, to learn some new things. And these were like each time we got there, it was like 10 days of really intense training. I don't know how much it scales when it comes to like full-time university studies, but Aberystwyth being like a very much an isolated place can as well impose some kind of concentration on the students. So there is a big difference between Aberystwyth, which is essentially a university town, and any other town or city which is town or city, but there is also university. So students just have to work harder in a sense. Some students like that, some students don't like that. Sometimes it's parents who like that. not like the students may have their own opinion, but I think this is an important part of that.
I think that's a lovely distinction, that we are a town and not a city, and with that smaller size comes far more of a community element to ABBA. And some students thrive with the community aspect, but some students always try and get out, and I think that's interesting. Why do we stay? Because a lot of us are alumni here. So why have we chosen to stay and stay for a long time?
I think it's certainly among my circles, it's a long-standing joke that once people have arrived in Ablis, if they find any possible reason to stay and not to leave. From the Welsh language cultural point of view, Aberystwyth is certainly a capital, but yet it's a town, and it sort of carries the sense of historic importance and cultural importance. But does that within the confines of a smaller confined community in a way? And I think that tension about what students expect. Some of the students have come here because it's the furthest possible place they can get to away from their parents. And if it's a six-hour journey, mum's not going to be popping up at the weekend. And then others are coming here because it's the closest, so that they can actually go back to their rural agricultural backgrounds where that's an essential part of it. So I think that tension does exist in Aberystwyth in the way that you describe it, and that might be reflected in the way students engage with their learning for those reasons too. I'm not sure.
In my learning and teaching, I don't have any chance to like actually make a difference based on what Aberystwyth is and so on. But in the computer science department, in the first year of studies, there is an activity weekend, which is basically a team-building activity where all the students from the first year are driven on the buses to a tiny little place called Glanlin.
Glanlin, yeah.
Which is, many regard this as the most Welsh place they have ever seen.
You pronounced it beautifully, Maxime.
I received a little training in the very first day here about this particular sound. So, in a sense, this activity weekend and this place is a subset of Aberystwyth, and because it's a distant place, but it is at the same time an integral part of teaching in our department. So the students come back really different compared to what they have been before. So some people like it, some people don't like it. But as a person who participated in that activity once, I recognize the students with whom I whose activities I managed in some way much more than any other students. So this is definitely an important part.
Well, as a creative medium in photography, we see a lot of students addressing this idea of pilgrimage to ABBA, and it comes across every year. You'll have students that do a project based on their journey to ABBA, or comparing and contrasting their home environment with Aberystwyth, and I find that really interesting and unique, because all the students do it in a different way, so it's never the same, even though I see the theme comes up quite a lot. But I think the place has such a huge impact in how we teach, because I feel like we are more of a community. I feel like we're more engaged with activities that are happening because there's less things happening. We have to be actively engaged with our community to understand what's happening, and to use the resources we have, like the National Library, the Art Centre, as part of practice and taking students and engaging them with it. You'll still get students that don't go to the National Library while they study here at all, but we can at least try and build it into teaching.
I feel that the place Aberystwyth has in terms of its relationship to the Welsh language and the culture, and the fact that we are so privileged to have such a vibrant international community and input, into that combination for me is something that I would like to draw out of the students, for them to be able to appreciate that sense of privilege as being an opportunity to allow themselves to immerse themselves into that sort of landing place, that's sort of the safe environment, this beautiful place with such historical significance. And I feel like we need to explore how to awaken that somehow in our students. I don't always feel that they appreciate it. That sounds very preachy of me. I don't mean it like that. I mean that I feel a sense of wanting to inspire them to appreciate that. And I don't think that they always do. And I don't think that necessarily what we put in place activates those feelings. And possibly if you don't experience them for yourself, if they don't get that wow when you come over the hill, or when you see the sea, or appreciate the beauty of the landscapes, I'm not sure that you can do it.
Yeah, maybe not, or maybe another way of just maybe kind of tying in with teaching, where it's like some of us are at the beginning of the journey, some of us are somewhere in between, or some of us is kind of like said, we're at the end of the line of the track, so maybe this is the end of the line of their journey. So maybe applying that also as well to teaching, that our students are going to be starting in different positions, and how do we get them A to B, from where they are to where we want them to be, and then assisting them on the way to that journey. At least with Aberystwyth, I can say, yeah, we are a nice, safe landing ground. A lot of parents might appreciate that, but some students as well, particularly female students, may appreciate that it's like, there's a safe landing ground where I can continue or start my journey of education, of learning for my degree. And then maybe another thing we can probably bring in is that idea of balance. So we have just this beautiful seaside. Any sunny day, all the students will be down there, I guarantee it. And we have a good fish and chip shop down there as well, and good ice cream. So I guess getting them to kind of move outside of their heads a little bit, where it's like, you're here for an education, yes, but there's so much more around, especially the beauty, and just kind of wake up and look out the window and have a chance of being like, oh yeah, there's more to life than just I need to do the degree in 3 or 4 years, get it done. At least, like said, see it more as a journey, and then take breaks along the way to sniff the flowers, or in our case, go get ice cream and fish and chips.
So yeah, this group, similar sort of thing. They came to a pretty similar answer, but theirs was more on, I guess, describing it as a pilgrimage to Aberystwyth. So there was this thing about how Aberystwyth, for a lot of people, is a very distant place, unless, weirdly, if you're, I don't want to say local, but local in kind of Aberystwyth terms, so from a sort of 50-mile radius around it, then it is the local university. As a lot of students are coming from rural areas, this is sort of the local university. It's kind of the capital. It's really important from a Welsh language perspective. But then for so many students, it is, yeah, it's kind of sort of this pilgrimage to a very distant place. And I put a little note to myself when I was listening back to it, that, you know, sort of for a job I do distance learning, but this is distant learning, and it is a different kind of, it's a very different kind of vibe, different sort of immersion for students. And there's sort of this thing that came through in their discussions about how it kind of transforms people, the place itself, and kind of the distance gives people a space to transform, and how once people arrive, they desperately try to find a reason to stay, and how that kind of pans out in the teaching, and how, you know, people kind of build up these pedigrees in Aberystwyth. Yeah, I thought it was super interesting. I thought it was a really poetic way of describing it.
That's really interesting. Yeah, but definitely people loved being, well, it's a self-selected sampling. I guess the people who don't like being in Aberystwyth have all gone away and weren't there to do the recording. But yeah, it was the way that it created this. It's like they were talking about it in terms of comparing it to London or other cities that they were familiar with or come from, and that it was the smaller scale of it all just create a very different atmosphere.
Well, okay, so I mean, I guess this is an opportunity for a quick reflection. So this was the very first time we've tried this takeover format. It was a little kind of test run of one that we're hoping to run at the Playful Learning, Playful Learning Conference later on this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like we made a few changes to the format just based on kind of our experience of like particularly the setup, like how we kind of described things at the beginning. We've made a few sort of tweaks and changes. But kind of what are your thoughts on just sort of the overall, you know, how it went?
This is based on part with a conversation I've had with Poo Yin about what is a podcast. So I looked at a couple of sites which were about different genres of podcast. And looking at that, I thought, oh yeah, quite a few of these are applicable to academic development, education podcasts. Some of them aren't. But let's do a sort of typology of what are the different ways of doing a podcast that would fit in this sort of thing. So do you want to do an interview? Do you want to have a panel where each person brings something new to it and you break it up that way? Or do you want to do it as a chat between two people, in which case you've got a more difficult format because it's you've got to decide what are the ways you're going to break that down? But we talked them through the different sorts of structures those different sorts of genres have. And that gave them some flexibility, some autonomy about how they would structure it and what sort of podcast they do. But it gave them enough input so that they had something to base it on and they had some kind of clear idea about how to put it all together. And the skills thing, I think, worked as well. To some extent, I think they found it very difficult to divide themselves up as groups according to the roles they wanted to have. But once they were in their groups, I think they, during the discussions, they got to a point where they each decided what it is they were going to do.
I mean, from my perspective, I think, yeah, we definitely learned a lot from running the activity. I think sort of generally it worked. I think basically, actually, everybody responded really well to some slightly kind of choppy setup from me, just because, you know, when you're sort of delivering the information at the start, it all feels very obvious to you. But actually, you know, basically we compressed a lot into not a lot of time. There's a lot of information being delivered in a lot of time. So kind of our lesson learned from this is that we sort of simplified the format a little bit. And worked out where we're going to need to do some additional aids and things going forwards. But I just want to, I just want to finish this with, oh, sorry.
I was going to say, I don't think it's that the information was too complicated. It was, I don't think it was presented in a way, basically, that you need handouts and you need the instructions left on the screen, on the PowerPoint screen and that sort of stuff. It was the basic, how do we make sure the information they need is under their noses at the point at which they need it? Is the bit that we didn't get right. I don't think there was too much. I just think it was presented in the wrong order and at the wrong time. And I think if we could explain it, leave the structure on as a PowerPoint slide or whatever, this is what we're doing, and then hand out the bits of paper, structuring it a bit more, I think that would be fine, really. But I think that's where we messed it up a bit, was being too verbal and not text-based enough, because that's what people refer back to is the text rather than remember the verbal stuff. Does that make sense?
It does. And the only other thing I'd add into that as well is it would be, oh my God, get the microphones running as soon as people get to the tables, because some of the best conversation that everybody had was in that initial kind of brainstorming activity. It was absolutely fabulous. And we didn't capture so much of it. I wanted to just tail us off with, just, you know, based on, so we were in Aberystwyth for a couple of days doing our book launch event. We've got a book. It's online. Go to the website. It's pedagogzilla.com/the book. Plug. We were in Aberystwyth for a couple of days doing our book launch. We had a great couple of days there. Based on, you know, your group calling, to the discussions you had with people, what's your answer to the unbearable lightness of being in Aberystwyth? How does Aberystwyth shape teaching, learning, and research?
I think the people in that segment covered it, really. It's being isolated that throws people together, that creates a very different dynamic. A lot of the time when you're trying to do stuff in universities elsewhere, you're trying to do something socially constructivist about, let's share our experiences about climate change or whatever, people are a bit reticent. But it sounded like they never had any of those issues with teaching in that kind of way at Aberystwyth, because everyone's thrown together and everybody knows each other and you bump into each other in the street all the time, and there's a kind of camaraderie that develops there that is a really strong basis for your teaching approach is when you're taking that kind of angle on things. So I think that's the difference. And also that it isn't just isolated, it's diverse. It's, you know, it's the it's like a disaster movie casting, you know, where you've got one of each and the boat's upside down or whatever. It's that kind of mix of lots of different people, but all thrown together with a similar aim that creates a very different sort of dynamic. And yeah, it's that's kind of what I saw about it. It is very different from a lot of other places.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think for me as well, it links into a kind of, it's not just the community that it fosters, but it's also the kind of the weird continuity of community, because there's so many people we spoke to there who are lecturing now, but had studied at Aberystwyth and had found a way to hang on to the university. And they were definitely carrying that forwards with them. I mean, to the conversations we were having outside of the session and kind of our follow-ups and the little Q&A we ran at the very end on things like, you know, approaches to active learning things, there's a real love for the university. With some people, it's not just a job, it's something they're really passionate about, and it's a place and a community that they are passionate about, and they want to be doing the best they can within it. And yeah, just, I guess, building on your point there about that sort of that diverse community. It's a diverse community being thrown together from so many places, but it's sticky. It's sticking in the place. I thought that was really lovely. Okay, so thanks very much for listening to both us and the fabulous folk at Aberystwyth University on this ABBA Takeover episode special. You can follow us and get in touch at pedagogzilla.com, and you can find Aberystwyth itself at, I think it's abba.ac.uk, which is a great university. Heartily encourage you to check out Mary Jacobs Twitter. It's Mary Jacob T-E-L on the Twitters. She does these regular sort of resource roundups. They're fantastically useful. Go check them out. And yeah, big thank you to everybody at Aberystwyth University for hosting us. We had a great time there. We hope you, I guess partly even somehow enjoyed us blathering away for 2 days. We had a good time at least. Yeah, we love you lots, and we'll see you next time on Pedagogzilla. Bye now.
Bye.